The sermon is based on all the readings, really. But to begin, I reread just a few of those verses from Luke chapter 10. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you'd like to follow along and guess what fill in the blank is, you can see in the back page, there's the usual sermon notes. Somebody was joking around with me, how long are you going to preach today, Pastor? I said, till it rains, but actually it's longer than that because this is first part of a two-part sermon. So actually I'm preaching all week until next week. We'll talk about part two. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the man asked, "Who is my neighbor?" God has two kingdoms. And we often call it the kingdom of the left, and that's this world. The governments, the authorities, the way of life, the communities, the societies of this world. And the kingdom of the gospel, God's eternal kingdom. We'll be talking about the first kingdom today, sometimes called the left-hand kingdom. And one of the main things to remember as Christians is that God has both kingdoms in his hand. He's in charge of everything in this world. He's in charge of our faith as Christians and the Christian church into eternity. It's God's two kingdoms. Now, everyone here on earth is a member of this left-hand kingdom, the kingdom of this world. You become a member of this world by birth, and we really would say conception. You're a member of this world. And that's the way God designed it. And so when the man asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Everyone that you see around you, that are on the other side of the world or wherever, is your neighbor. That is God's design. Now, the man himself was trying to figure out how he was going to get into heaven by obeying God perfectly, loving God perfectly, and then also loving his neighbor as himself. And you see, if Jesus would have answered, "Well, your neighbor is whoever you would like it to be," "Well, that's easy enough. I'll just decide who my neighbor is, and I'll be really nice to those people." And that's what we sometimes do as humans. We sometimes decide, "Oh, those people are our neighbors, but those people not. So it's good enough for me to be nice and help take care of those people, but those people not." But our neighbor is everybody in this world. And God wants us to serve them all. Our communities and our societies, our languages, our gifts from God. God has made us in a way that we tend to choose leaders, we tend to develop languages, we tend to set up living patterns, how to eat, how to farm, how to barter, how to buy and sell, how to raise our children. And in different places around the world, in different times and cultures, it's done differently, but everybody does it. And God has designed that into us as human beings living in this world. And he does this for a good order and for being a blessing. And Scripture is clear. We heard Paul say, you pray for those who are in authority. And God commands us to obey and to pray for whoever is in charge in our community, in our even local organizations, the county level, the state level, the federal level. Even if they're evil, he wants us to pray. Not to obey them to go against God, that's not right. But to obey them as far as possible, which is very, very far. You know what we humans do, even what we Christians do. Well, I don't like that guy or that gal who's ruling over me, so I won't obey that. When obeying that particular law or policy has nothing against Christianity. It just is. And so you don't get to choose which ones to obey or not obey. As long as it doesn't disobey God, God says honor them, follow them, as far as possible, as far as a Christian can. And especially if we don't like a certain local government person, or state government, or national government person, don't we think they need prayer? If they're headed down the wrong way, they need our prayers. So it's not that God says, oh, you don't think that guy is pretty good or that gal is pretty good, you don't have to obey. No, God says pray. He's given us these things for our blessings. And of Christians, then all people, all neighbors, need our service and our love. However we can do it. As Christians, we need to live like that. And also a witness of the gospel. So that many, many neighbors, we pray all neighbors, be God's eternal kingdom, and with the brothers and sisters in Christ. But that eternal kingdom, that's next week's sermon. So come back next week. And we won't be here next week, we'll be in the church. But thinking a little bit more about this left-hand kingdom, the kingdoms of this world. One place where we often go wrong as humans, and you've heard me say it, members have heard me say it, I've said in Bible class, as humans, especially if they're not Christians, they don't know, but even Christians sometimes, we're all accountable to God. It's His kingdom. It blows my mind sometimes. You get something through the Freedom of Information Act, and then it's all redacted. It doesn't matter. You can't see what was on the document anyway. Well, that's how we humans tend to do it. But as Christians, we know you could not redact anything from God. He knows what is going on all the time. He knows our hearts and our minds. So how we treat our neighbors, how we think of our neighbors, God knows that. We Christians too, then we see, boy, I need to repent. I need to be sorry for my sins. I really haven't thought well of my neighbor sometimes. I haven't taken care of my neighbor sometimes. So God knows. And then, as Christians then we lead and serve, knowing that God is seeing everything. He knows everything. He's given us our neighbors to take care of them. Taking care of each other is a beautiful thing, and it's an honorable thing. And that's partly why we have Memorial Weekend, is to honor how these folks have taken care of their neighbors by serving. And us who are living on this earth, yet it is honorable to do this for our neighbor, to help out in different ways. And it is God's will. So we thank and serve those people. We pray to God for them. And we find ways to thank God for them too. We're going to do that in our prayers. We thank God for people's service to us as citizens and a community and in a nation in different ways. Now it was said in the hymn that we just sang, I think it was verse 3. in trouble, wouldn't we want to help him? If he had a robber or a thief attacking his house, wouldn't we want to be a policeman to help him? If Jesus had his barn burning down, wouldn't it be an honor to be in the fire department and to help put out that fire? If he couldn't take care of his grass very well anymore, and he really needed it cut, and he needed somebody to help out, wouldn't it be an honor to cut the grass for Jesus Christ? If the place where he was living, that nation, was in trouble, wouldn't it be an honor to be in the military to protect the land where he's living? Jesus said, you do it to the least of one of these, you do it for me. This is so critically important for us to remember, that our neighbor is not just, oh, they may be a different type of person, they may speak a different language and look differently and speak and dress differently, may be quite different from place to place, from city to city, or from town to town. Traditions may not be different. Okay, I'm almost gone, just 2 weeks, so I'll tell you a little secret here. So, when we came to Ridgeville Corners 6 years ago, when we started getting to know you all in the community, it seemed like quite a comfortable fit. It was very interesting to me. It was almost a little bit mysterious, and so it was pretty easy for us to accept the call to be here full time when you extended it. But I wondered about that in my mind and heart. And I read this one book called The Seven Nations of the U.S., I think it was called. Yeah, it's an anthropological study of the migration patterns, where people migrate to the U.S. It is a very, especially the first half of the book, is very interesting, the historical part. I said, Deb, the people who live here in this area in Ohio, and this area in northeastern Indiana, this area here, northwestern Ohio, northeastern Indiana. The book said those settlers were similar to the same group of those who settled in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I grew up. And I always I thought, oh. And it's funny because that book points out, however true or not it is that when you go and settle in a place, that place changes you, that place you become like that place. And I said, that's why, it's kind of just like that. And so the way people interact with one another here and stuff, I felt comfortable with right away, and it is a lot. Like, if you met my brothers, you know, say, you think they grew up here. Whereas, Dakota, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Boy, I had a tough time. They're a very nice congregation. But the culture and how people interacted with one another. Oh, I told one of the pastors there, I said, sometimes I think I know Ghana in Africa better than I can figure out Parkston. Well, those immigrants were from Russia. Very different way of approaching life, thinking about. So God gives us ways of living with one another, ways of interacting with each other, ways of growing up, ways of raising our children that are honorable and good. And they can be different from one another. But this is his left-hand kingdom, and he's made us to be a variety of people. He asks us to obey his laws, to live as his people, but there's a lot of different ways people do that. Christians, we also know that God supplies our daily needs. I looked at this very, thank you guys for so keeping everything so nicely mowed. I looked at this lawn today as we were setting up for the service this morning and said, what a gift of God that Zion can have this property. That's a gift of God. And that we can use it. And it's so beautiful, and he's given us a wonderful day for this worship out here. And we know that this is so many ways that God blesses us and takes care of us. That's our confession. He is in charge. He takes care of us. And because of that, we trust in God. We can be generous to others. Because I have a home in heaven. I can give everything away, and I'll still go to my home in heaven. I can be generous. And that is a beautiful thing that we remember about our neighbor. I don't have to be stingy with my neighbor. I don't have to worry that God's not watching over. He's watching over me. And the last point. You all know this. I'm preaching to the choir. Expect the choir members here and other members too. But there's a lot of sin in this world and sinners, including you and me as sinners. And so there's always difficulties in the church. There's difficulties in our communities. There's difficulties in our states and nation and between nations. That is the way it is at this time. But God doesn't say, oh, it's sinful. You don't have to love anybody. You don't have to take care of anybody. Don't worry. As if you and I aren't sinners ourselves. And you and I aren't quirky and strange ourselves. We are. But God says, yes, they're sinners. And so are you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Take care of them. Also, when we see the sin and the needs in the world today, there's so much. You know, I assume you know, I throw out half the things that come to church to give to, I throw out half those mailings. You can't give to them all. You can't give to them all. We give to a lot of things, local and international, but we can only do so much. And if anybody else, now that I'm gone, if anybody wants to see what's being thrown out, you go ahead and collect the mail. You can decide. But you can't do it all. But God places people and situations in our circumstances to which we can be generous and to which we can do something. And churches band together to do larger projects. Or families band together to do larger projects. And that's good too. We know that evil is great, the need is great. And we wish we could do more and more and more and more. Yeah, if I had Bill Gates' money, yes, I would know what to do with it. I have a lot of places I know can go and do a lot of good. But I don't have Bill Gates' money. But I have the gospel, I have God, I have brothers and sisters in Christ. Shows us what to do. So Memorial Day is, for me at least, is remembering how God has given us one another to take care of one another, and how some of us have served in special ways that we honor and remember and rejoice and thank God for. Thank God for. The interesting thing, and one of you brought it up when we were setting up before church, Pastor, I like this. This is a nice comment. How are we going to do the counting of attendance today in church? And I didn't catch on right away, but I caught up pretty fast. He goes, are we just going to count here, or are we going to count here? And that is absolutely true. It's having a cemetery with a church. It has its challenges, but it's also a blessing because these are our members. I said, I think they're all members, in fact. Boy, we'll have to build a bigger church. But these folks here, we're taking care of them and their bodies until Jesus comes again. But they have been gifts of God to us, and we remember them. And so also we, in our little ways and big ways, we do this in our own lives. So we give thanks to God for these folks who we're taking care of for this time being, and for one another, and for all in our community who will also help us. And we pray for them, and we love them. And And even though there's much evil in the world, don't lose heart. God is in control. Jesus says, love your neighbor. And so we love them. And Jesus takes care of us. In his name we pray. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for all those who have served us. Help us to also serve one another and those far and near. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. May the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.